nothing is more expensive than bad information. Know the source. OneRadioNetwork.com.
Well, a very pleasant good morning to you. This is Patrick Timpone, and it is the second Monday of the month, and that will bring us to a time when we get to talk to my good friend, fun guy, and MD out of Austin, Texas. His name is Richard Massey. You'll meet him in just a second. Right now, he's in the green room taking his Lexapro, and he'll be fine, and it'll be good. It'll be good. Later on, Ray Pete, he's off of that. He's on to something else now. Ray Pete will be here in an hour and a half. David Wolf, the lovely and talented David Wolf, is going to be here tomorrow for a couple of hours. There have been many moons come Choctaw since we've talked to David. So that'll be fun. On Wednesday, you're going to find David Martin, Thrill a Minute. He is, I don't know how to explain it, kind of a pseudo attorney, but he did a few videos on how the powers that are feel like they're in control in this whole COVID phenomenon, whatever it is, and all the various laws that they're breaking, and how you could actually file things against them to have them stop and stuff like that. It's really, really, really cool stuff. And then also another fellow on Wednesday about how a group of people maybe 100 years ago and people that I had never heard of before changed the whole medical model even before they did the thing with the Rockefeller Foundation that we talk about. Just some real interesting stuff that's coming out here out of the woodwork. So that'll be on Wednesday. So I hope you care to join us this morning. If you don't want to use your thumbs, you can use your index and do 888-663-6386, 888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Like we said, Richard Massey is an MD out of Austin, and he works with people on a consultation basis around the world. And he is domiciled with the Meridian Grace, who you know, who is on the show a lot with us. And Dr. Richard Massey is also a special eye in recall healing, right? So anything else we need to check before we start? Did you show your vax card and anything else we got to do? No, I think you're good. And we are 6 feet away, so we're good there. And I was going out of the car and get my mask and see how the show sounded with my mask on, but... I do. I wore my mask one time. You'd be very proud of me. I went to the hippie food store, didn't want to cause a fuss, and needed some provisions. So they asked me to wear a mask. So I got one, and it's purple, and it's pretty cool, and I kind of like it. And I did be a resistor as much as I could, and didn't put it over my nose. And so nobody said anything. I kept waiting for somebody to say, "Hey, dude, put on your nose." How is it? Are you guys in lockdown and shelter in place, or place in your shelter, or what are you doing there?
Well, I tell you, we took a walk on the Greenbelt yesterday, and there's lots of people in bathing suits. There are families out there sitting in the water.
Really?
One lady was breastfeeding her baby while the other one was, using her floaties with dad. It was just beautiful, and we got to watch this great blue heron fish for a while.
Oh, you sent me that picture, yeah. Huh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It would just catch and fish one right after the other. And it was a beautiful day out there on the Greenbelt, and I think we saw four people wearing masks walking the Greenbelt, and a few hundred that weren't. That's what's up here in Austin, Texas.
It's interesting you mentioned that. I saw Dr. Fauci on CNN, and he was explaining how you could breastfeed being 6 feet apart from your kid. It was clever, and I thought it was good.
I missed that
one. You missed that one? Oh, you got to see that one. Oh, come on. Okay. I watched a great movie last night called... House of Games, written by Dave Mamet, who you would probably know, I think, Spanish Prisoner, Glengarry Glen Ross, a lot of cool movies. We were quite a screenwriter. I took his class, a master class on screenwriting, and this was called House of Games. And it was all about a confidence game that was schemed on this author who was a psychiatrist. And they stole $80,000 from her in a confidence game. And they got to her by tricking her into the idea of doing a project with them so that she could learn how confidence men thinks, you know, for her new book. And it turned out that the whole thing was a setup from the beginning, and they scammed her. And one of the things they kept talking about, you know, the guy that plays a lot of the crooks, Montega, you know that guy, right?
Yeah, right.
I don't know how to say his name, but he was the male star. And his whole premise was that the only way the con game works, if people have confidence in you.
Ah.
That's the whole idea. It doesn't work if they don't have confidence in you. And once they have confidence in you, then you can get them to do anything.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting, what's going on today?
Yes, it is. You know, and I go back to that, you know, coronavirus etymologically meaning poisoned crown. And, you know, when we trust the poison crowns more than we trust our inner crowns, our inner coronas, you know, yeah, we end up getting conned out of stuff.
That's so fascinating. Poison crown. So, of course, the crown would, I guess, would symbolize the king. And the king is kind of top of the totem pole, right? The true sovereign, right. The true sovereign.
Yeah, whoever I look to outside of myself as the authority, and all spiritual paths that I know tell people never give your authority away to anybody else.
That's right.
That's going to be a problem.
Yeah, it's going to be a problem. And and the corona. So I don't think you can make that up. Well, maybe. Like, I don't know.
The coronary blood vessels are our first crown. The heart beats day 22 after conception.
Really?
Yeah. And the other crown, the head, comes out at birth. So we've got the heart first and then the head. Those are our two big crowns in biology. And that's where our real authority is. That's the true crown. The coronavirus is the poison crown, or the toxic crown.
How is it possible that the heart could start beating 22 days after Mr. Spermy meets Mrs. Egg? That's just mind-boggling.
I know it is, isn't it? It's the first organ to come online in the human body.
Ah.
Yeah, it's the portal to other dimensions, people say. But yeah, day 22, I mean, you know, I don't even think we're a centimeter long yet.
Wow. Man. I had a niece who, their little baby had not a well-formed heart, they figured out in utero. And he's just doing great. He had like 3 or 4 operations, if you can imagine, by the time he was 2. And she was telling me that they're actually doing these kinds of operations now in the womb.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
No, they weren't doing that when I was practicing, and I find it fascinating. And I love the story that people can do that technically, and certainly I would avail that. And then the other thing I would encourage people to do is do a family traumagram and list that as one of the traumas in the family. And you'll see that it happened before, and that it's about some suppressed emotion or event or person. And when that emotion or event or person is recognized and brought back into the family heart, this won't keep happening anymore.
You gotta have heart. Lots and lots and lots of heart.
Yeah, you know, in 2015, you know, we took Meridian in because she had a valve that was too small.
That's right, yeah.
A year later, we get a family tree, and find out that her aunt died as an infant because the hole was too big.
Wow. And hers was too small.
Uh-huh.
Oh, interesting. How that works, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Richard Massey, Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. So, any new insights on your end from people that you've talked to the last month or so about this corona phenomenon that we are experiencing?
My general sense is that people are realizing it's not about a virus. And the big issue is more the human issue. And that's what folks are kind of working with. And I sent you that thing on infectious diseases. And I looked up the other plagues and recall healing, and they're very similar. In biology, if a person is separated from their group, they die. So as long as a group stays together, they're safer from predators. They can find food for each other. But once somebody's turned out of the family, they die. And so separation is a huge conflict in our biological system. And so there's an energy, like you and I were just talking about in Ecuador, idyllic Ecuador, we thought, from over here.
Right.
That people are being stopped and they're being evaluated, like, can you still be part of the group, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. are you excluded? And that's the energy that's behind all infectious illnesses. When that sort of energy wave runs through a country or the globe, we will see infectious diseases happening in that environment.
Mm-hmm. And the Ecuador thing, I think, is an interesting thing for all of us to kind of contemplate on, is that so many people from time to time, and I've known them and you've known them, feel like this country is going bonkers and we really have to get out, right? And we go to Ecuador, whatever, or Spain, or, you know, Panama or something. And in my opinion, the real freedom comes from within, not going someplace where there's theoretically, quote, more freedom, unquote.
Yeah, I agree with that. And then on the practical side, we run out of countries to run to.
That's right. That's right. And at least in this country, you know, we kind of know who you're dealing with. What's that old saying? That's the devil you know or something?
Yeah, that sounds good.
What is that one? The devil you know is better than the devil. Yeah, yeah. You know. I mean, we all have dictators, but at least we make believe that we vote for them and we feel better. Well, I voted. Yeah, well, good. Good luck with that. The core conflict behind any infectious disease is separation, from this paper that you sent me, which produces a micro ulceration of the epidermis during the conflict active phase. Ooh, this is exactly like a micro hole that an insect would poke the person.
Yes. Yeah, the little insects are trying to help us out. So you find all these little things, you know, when people are, they're doing things that are creating separations. But the big stuff is like an infectious disease will reveal the following, like, what are the conflicts? And it's like, what is a challenge that I'm going through at this moment of my life? What is the thing that I have to change?
Mm-hmm.
Is my perception about life right or wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Am I rejecting anything in my life right now? And do I resist change and adaptation?
It's kind of the idea, to wax spiritually, if I may, the idea that the spirit is encouraging all of us to get our caca together. Excuse me. Right? Take it to another level, baby.
Yes, we're taking it to another level, you know. And I remember one of our last emotional yoga groups with this great therapist from Nashville. The theme of the gathering for the weekend was conflict. and how to be with conflict without going to war. Honestly, I had never heard of that. And I always thought conflict is inevitably leading to war, but we discovered over the weekend that that's not true, that people can emote vigorously, hate, anger, rage, sadness, fear, and come out on the other side without blaming anyone, without going to war. And I think as a group, that's what we're being asked to do here. Can we go through this without, you know, blaming the president, the Congress, the, you know, China, the CDC, whoever it is? Can we go through what we need to go through without blame?
That would be the key, right? If we take the idea that it's everything that happens in our experiences is our karma, right? Our karma dharma, so that we've created on some level, then why get angry about it?
Yeah, and if you're going to get angry, as Tony Robbins would say, do it well. I love what Tony Robbins said in that thing, I'm Not Your Guru, that Netflix special. Mm-mm. Somebody was blaming somebody and they felt guilty. And Tony said, hey, I'm not against blaming. I just want you to do it really well.
That's great. Just
be a master of
be
blame.
Be a master of blame there. That's great.
Yeah. And don't take it too seriously, you know, because it's beautiful when a person's really good at blame. In fact, we did a constellation where blame was one of the ones represented in the constellation. And that's what actually started the movement toward equality, was that when blame started going off, blamed everyone eventually, got to everybody, like, you suck because, you know, and then we all realized, hey, we're all equal. This guy just gave us equality. The thing we've gone to war over and all that, blame just gave it to us. Mm-hmm. So people can even come out on the other side of blame. So I don't want to blame, you know?
Don't blame your blamer. Roy writes in, any information about vitamins and minerals manufactured in China?
I don't. Have you been hearing anything, Patrick?
Well, you know, my take is different from most. I think that this whole China's the enemy thing is just another rich man's trick to make another enemy. You know, they like enemies. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they like them. And certainly China's a pretty polluted place. But to think that everything that comes from China, yeah, you better throw away your iPhone and, you know, what can I tell you? Throw away your Mac. That's no good. That stuff sucks. It doesn't work. Come on. You know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I just think it's a big scam. Certainly there's a lot of junk coming out of there, but they did the same thing in Japan, 30 years ago, remember? Made in Japan?
Yeah.
Right?
That's right. The big tryptophan from Japan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And certainly there's weird stuff coming out of there, and be careful, but you have to know the source no matter where it's coming from. I mean, I can show you some stuff coming out of Cleveland. I wouldn't give my pet rat, you know, so. What can I say? I don't have a pet rat, but that just came out. Dr. Richard Massey is here, Patrick Timpone. I'd like one, though. OneRadioNetwork.com. And stay right there, Doc. And we're going to have some fun this morning. And if you'd like to join us, 888-663-6386. Have you had your sulfur today, baby? Previously with Stephanie Seneff, PhD, research scientist with MIT on her work with glyphosates, GMO, and sulfur.
I know you really care about sulfur, and so do I. You know, I really think sulfur is crucial for health and that we have a massive problem with sulfur deficiency in this country. One of the proteins that I found that is disrupted by glyphosate, because it has an essential glycine, is sulfotransferase. That's a protein that moves sulfate from one molecule to another, but it's really, really important to be able to do that.
And why wouldn't it be able to do it? Because the glyphosate disrupts the natural sulfur cycle in our body?
The cell won't be able to defend itself with sulfate if it can't put the sulfate there. And of course, glyphosate chelates sulfur.
A perfect storm in the challenges department, perhaps, but we're getting creative. So we know that we've been low on sulfur for years because of the chemical fertilizers, and now the GMO thing, which is disrupting the sulfur cycle. And we know with sufficient amounts of sulfur in the body, it's the natural way that the body gets these heavy metals, for example, mercury and mercury sulfate, out of the body, if we have enough sulfur. Click and order sulfur today on OneRadioNetwork.com. Got a little toothy story, and I'm pretty excited to hear about my teeth. I know, you know, I can thrill you. But there was a few weeks ago, a tooth was really starting to hurt in the back there, and even had a problem open phones one day. It hurt so badly. Couldn't figure out what it was. Went to Dr. Nunley, and there was no problem there. They're just, you know, he said there's about a 90% chance that this tooth is just fine. I just don't see anything. We did the whole x-ray thing, and he tapped on it. We played around, and something was just not happy. And so he did a little ozone and said, let's just keep an eye on it. And but it just wasn't good. And then one, in the middle of the night, I woke up out of a dream experience, and it was one of those dream experiences where it was kind of, I think it was actually in a kind of a gunfight thing. It wasn't scary, but we were shooting. I didn't know whether it was past life or was just working out a gunfight karma from a film that I saw, which happens, by the way, every time you watch a gunfight, but don't get me started there. You just got to do it. And then I noticed I was really clenching my teeth. So I started to put some of this Pearlseum in one of these. I found an old little kind of appliance thing that Dr. Nunley made for me, I guess 10 years ago, when I actually bleached my teeth a couple of times. You ever do that? Yeah, back in the days we did that. Oh, it was longer than 10 years ago. Anyway, so I put sulfur in there in the back one and been wearing that at night. And man, it is just, I barely, you know, it's probably about 98%. I can feel a little bit with my tongue, still sore. So it's, I think the bone is building up and I'm just learning how to not clench my teeth when I have a gunfight at the OK Corral in the dream state. And so you got to work on that. So if you have a gunfight going on in the dream state, you know, don't get stressed out about it and just realize it's just a gunfight. And if you get shot, you know, your body's still, your physical body is still there. Anyway, this person's very powerful thing that you can use. It's not a thing. It's actually a mineral. I have a word that's much more elegant than thing. It is a mineral that has all kinds of various minerals in there, target proteins, a lot of calcium. It's said that Chinese Empress Wu Ziting and the Egyptian Queen Cleopatra, hundreds of other royalties of the ancient civilizations, China, India, and Egypt, used Pearlseum for health and longevity. Take it in internally. And they also, they found that they used to use Pearlseum for for fillings, believe it or not. And somehow they turned to mercury. They thought it would be safer. I wish I would have been there. I would have told them. But anyway, Pearlseum is a great product. You can brush your teeth with it. You can take it internally. I think you'll enjoy it. Get a couple of containers. Get the powder and play around with it. Very interesting product indeed. Pearlseum, it's on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com.
We are listener-supported. One Radio Network.
Dr. Richard Massey, I bet you didn't know that Cleopatra used to eat pearls. Did you know that?
I did not know that. Well, I'm glad to know that.
Well, I know you are. You can just use that next time you play a game with Meridian, you know. Do you know? Did you know? For $20, do you know? Okay. Let's see. Carol writes in, we've been checking this, and seems to be legit that the case was won against the gates of hell. Not sure what they're talking about. Do you?
Are they talking about Bill Gates? Or?
Oh, I guess so. The gates of hell. I've never heard that term, but it's very clever.
Me either.
Has a nice ring.
People it would fit, definitely, yeah.
has a nice ring to it. Well, be careful what you believe out there. I've been hearing for a year now, or 2 years, how all the rascals and the cabal are being rounded up and arrested. And I haven't seen one as yet. The only one they arrested is President Trump's former attorney. That's about it. And they just let him out because of COVID. See that? You know, Richard Massey, from time to time, we often say that you just can't make this stuff up, right?
Yeah.
And so somebody sent me a video of a TV show from 2005, 15 years ago, called The Dead Zone, Plague TV. And if you could hear some of this, you would just be, I mean, you, I don't know if I don't know if we can play some of it. You would just be amazed of how. Check it out.
All right, what's going on? Just let me think about where to start.
Well, he saw something. What is it?
I saw a virus. I think some kind of disease.
A virus? Like what? Like SARS?
I don't know. All I know is that it's highly infectious and maybe fatal. Right now, we could all be infected. If we take this outside, we risk the whole town.
Johnny, how big is this gonna get?
I don't know. We just have to do everything we can to stop this, starting right now, Walt.
He's right. All right. All right, here's what's gonna happen. We need to make sure that everybody that's inside stays inside. I'm gonna get a few deputies on it. We'll call it a lockdown.
Lockdown?
Well, until I come up with something better.
Walt, no. No, you cannot lock the school doors. Walt.
This is for your family's safety.
Will I get sick too?
Maybe we should wear masks. What difference does it make? According to you, we've already been exposed. Let's get one thing straight, Mr. Smith. I'm responding to political pressure. You have no reason to be scared. Let me ask you something, Amy. Animals. You've been around any animals in the backyard, even, let's say, a skunk, a raccoon? I'm going to swab the inside of your mouth with this little Q-tip.
Do you believe this? This is 15 years ago. And they even mentioned the word corona here, too.
Oh, boy.
15 years ago on a show called The Dead Zone, Plague.
Yeah, this is in the human psyche, isn't it?
You think?
Yeah.
So I put on Facebook, as you know, they did make this stuff up. They took it out of, this is from a Stephen King novel. This TV show did 15 years ago. Evidently, Stephen King had a novel laying all this out. I don't know the name of it, but that's what this show was taken from, Stephen King book.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Getting scared of animals, you know.
Scared of animals.
Scared of nature.
Raccoon, did you see it? Skunk, raccoon.
Yeah, you don't want animals around. So got to kind of destroy the ecosystem because there might be some virus in there. I don't know about that. You know, a big turning point for me was when I got my first ultraviolet IV when I had pneumonia. And it was basically gone in 10 minutes. All the doctors were astounded. And so was I because I felt it. I have yet to see a viral syndrome not turn completely around after an ultraviolet IV. Hmm. And my YouTube about that just got taken down.
I did. Well, good for you. Congratulations. Well,
Thank you. I think it's still on Matt DeBoe's Facebook page.
Uh-huh. But
it's basically a simple little thing saying, how afraid would you be if you knew there was a 30-minute safe reversal of any coronavirus syndrome you got? I mean, would you still be afraid?
You put it on UB2B, and they said that it didn't meet their community standards?
Uh-huh.
Oh, well, good for them. Try to put up on BitChute. You know BitChute?
I don't.
Yeah, BitChute. Yeah, just Google that. Upload it there. Yeah.
Okay. How do you spell that?
I think it's just B-I-T... C-H-U-T-E, something like that. Google that baby up. It'll come right up, and you can put it up there. BitChute.
Okay.
They're more user-friendly. And so you did a whole thing about IV. Yeah, it's an interesting thing that you've been doing these for a long time, right? That what do? Yeah. You just take, tell folks how that works.
Yes, and I know a lot of y'all have seen it. It's just a basic IV. You lie back, you won't really know anything's going on unless you want to look. And we draw your blood through a section of the IV tubing that's made out of quartz. And that quartz is between some light bulbs, an ultraviolet A and an ultraviolet C. And that light gets on the blood cells. And then we put that blood cell back into your body. Anywhere from 50 to 250 cc's of blood is all we need. And when it goes back in the body, it just calms everybody down. All the cytokines calm down. The soldier cells calm down. The germs change into friendly forms. And this was known since the 1930s at Johns Hopkins and the Mayo Clinic. So it was mainstream medicine until the war, until World War II, when the pharmaceutical companies said, if you publish anything about it, we're going to cut off all your funding. So it was never made illegal, but people just forgot about it. And so here comes the polio epidemic of 1950. And the few people that remembered it, all of their people had reversals of polio without any paralysis. But the majority of people didn't know about it. So they ended up suffering. And so I started doing it after that. And, you know, family and friends now, I'm kind of retired. And I just wanted to put a quick YouTube up there. Show people, hey, you know, this, don't be scared of this thing. The scary thing is, as you know, there's nothing worse than partial information. We get all this information, and there's not an, oh, by the way, if you should get coronavirus, find a UVB provider, and please go get your ultraviolet blood thing. You'll feel better for doing it, and this coronavirus will resolve. We don't even hear one sentence of that. And so that's incomplete news, telling people there's something scary, even though we know there's a reversal for it. So that's what I was up to, and it got taken off YouTube.
Yeah, they took it off. Well, it's great because I don't know any of my friends that meet community standards, so it's good. You're in a good club.
I love that Martin Luther King quote that you put up on Facebook.
What was it?
Human salvation lies in the hands of the creatively maladjusted.
Isn't it? Yeah. The creatively maladjusted. I put up something else, and they got quite a few comments. I think I put up through a couple days ago that it wasn't some virus that crashed the economy. It was people who obeyed.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a world where we all just kind of said something like, you know, flu comes around every year and, you know, let's just see what this is. And I'll keep grandma at home and it'll be fine. And you know.
Yeah.
Do you have I don't even understand the concept, Dr. Massey, and the logic behind that there is some virus running around that will attack you through your nose or your mouth or your skin, and then someday it won't be there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a strange thing, isn't it?
It doesn't even make sense. You know, it's like,
no, it doesn't. And, you know, and the thing that we most treasure in a lover, the touching of the face, now we're told, well, that's dangerous.
Yeah. And then if you touch somebody else's face, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, that's assault.
No, it's a mortal sin. You'll go to hell. Do not pass.
Yeah, right. I hadn't really thought of it that way. Like, how come it comes and goes at specific times?
My favorite image is when you walk around the store and they want people to stay 6 feet away, and I think of, well, there's this corona that's coming out of this guy's face, and it goes 6 feet, and then it drops to the ground. Yes.
Yeah, we keep trying to build some kind of wall, don't we? I heard this guy, Judah Friedlander, pretty obscene thing on Netflix, and a stand-up comic thing, and he said if he gets elected president, he's going to build a wall in the middle of Mexico. That way the people will just keep escaping into Mexico.
I like it.
So we built this wall like 6 feet in front of people, you know. But,
Another thing from Martin Luther King we put on Facebook, most people can't stand up for their convictions because the majority of people might not be doing it. See, everybody's not doing it, so it must be wrong. And since everybody is doing it, it must be right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. I agree. And it's that fear of not belonging. And when we realize that we already belong, then we can behave differently.
Mm-hmm.
But when that feeling comes along, I'm going to be excluded. And it's just, it's a feeling. It's not actually real. When that feeling comes along, if we can recognize, oh, that's just a feeling. I already belong. That's why I'm here, mm-hmm. breathing and everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I belong.
Yeah. That way we don't have to conform as much.
We souls really don't like to conform anyway. It's kind of like, not even in our DNA, is it? You know, deep down.
I was listening to a Neville Goddard thing.
Yeah.
It was called The Feeling is the Secret.
Hmm.
And he used this idea that the conscious brain is a conscious part of us, that we're aware of is the male part, and the subconscious is the female part. And when we're functioning well, those two are lovers.
Oh.
And he spoke about how the subconscious doesn't like to be told what to do, kind of what you were just saying.
Yeah.
And that when we go to sleep or when we enter a meditative state, if we have the feeling that we already have what we're longing for,
mm-hmm.
the male part of us will inseminate the subconscious with that, and she will grow it and birth it and manifest it.
Oh, that's a nice visual, isn't it?
I thought so.
Yeah. So poetic here this morning. Did you have your Oreos? Or? He had his gluten-free Oreos, and man, he's on fire. 888-6-
that's all stolen from Neville.
888-663-6386. Email patrick1radionetwork.com. Have any questions or comments for the show, you can join us. Please do. patrick@1radionetwork.com. Ray Pete will be here in about 45 minutes or so. Jasper, what a great name. Jasper wants to know, what's Dr. Richard Massey's top things for immune building? He's thinking about Mr. Immune System.
Mr. Immune System.
Mr. Immune.
All right. Thank you for calling in there, Jasper. I like to go back to Dietrich Klinghardt's five levels. You know, honestly, you had Dietrich on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I like the way he organizes things. So on level one, which is the physical body, you know, eat well, get sunshine, move or stretch or exercise or something. Those are all really big. And touch animals, touch people. Physical affection seems to be the biggest. If people are living in a place of physical affection, they want to stay on the planet. They don't want to succumb to an illness and leave. So create a life in which there's not much physical suffering, but a lot of affection. On an electromagnetic level, that's level two. You know, if you can turn off your Wi-Fi at night, don't sleep with your cell phone on your chest. You know, basic things like that. You can even have your house checked for EMFs. On level three, which is personal stories, I like clearing those personal stories, mainly the ones about resentment and fear. Those seem to be the two that zap the immune system the most. There are various ways to do that. If you want to find a free way to do it, download some Byron Katie worksheets at thework.com. They provide free facilitators online, and fill out some free worksheets about your resentments and fears. Then on level 4, which is the family system, I strongly suggest people get something like Mark Wolin's book, It Didn't Start With You, or Family Constellations by Joy Manet. Or if you're an Indigenous person there, Jasper, go do some Indigenous shamanic stuff with your wise person of the village. And that should give you a robust immune system.
Wise person of the village?
Yes, the wise person of the village.
Do we have those? I like one. I like that. I keep looking for mine. Is it where I...
Yeah, wise person of the village. And, you know, and of course, you know, she's probably asking more about the physical things, I would guess.
Mm-hmm.
And you can hear a lot about that on this show. You can hear a lot about colostrum. You know, people without leaky gut do a whole lot better than people with leaky gut. So colostrum's a biggie. Adaptogenic herbs and compounds are really good in times of stress. Go find some adaptogens, things like ashwagandha for a nighttime adaptogen, things like ginseng and rhodiola during the day. Eat a good, healthy diet with lots of colors, bright and dark colors.
Yeah. Shaga Rishi, we have two of our people that we work with. Shen Blossom has a Shaga and a Rishi, and also Daniel Vitalis. So you have some choices there, Shen Blossom or Daniel. Colostrum with Daniel Vitalis. He mentioned ginseng. Shen Blossom, I'll put up the picture of it here if you're watching on UBTube or Facebook, if they haven't taken us down yet. He has a 50-year-old ginseng. Isn't that cool? 50-year-old ginseng.
It is.
50-year. It's a real deal. And they use it with, they make it with different really, I mean, just amazing, amazing ingredients. And I think sake is the alcohol they use. It's kind of crazy. Shen Blossom, if you want to try. You could probably do ginseng every day for the rest of your life and you'd be fine, wouldn't you, Doc?
I think so.
Uncle Harry used to take ginseng and every day, but he only lived to 58. Of course, he was shot, you know, outside a bar. Just kidding. Gunned him right down.
Yeah.
They just gunned him right down. You know, I tell you what, that ginseng is not going to help you there. Richard Massey, Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. It's interesting, the reading, that thing that you sent me on the, here's another one. Would you describe, how you use the HeartMath EM wave device in detecting unresolved issues that may be causing physical problems from Ellen?
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much for asking that one. That's a question dear to my heart. The M-Wave device that you can order from Institute of Heart Math, and Meridian has a few here that she sells. If you clip that on your earlobe, it'll tell you if you're in low, medium, or high coherence, which means, is the magnetic wave coming off my heart in sync with Mother Earth's magnetic wave? That's basically what it's asking. And so if I have a sore throat, I get out my Recall Healing book and look at the conflicts for sore throat. And when the one, I read the sentence that there's something I want to say that I'm not saying and I'm choking it back, if my little M wave turns green and says high coherence all of a sudden, then I go, okay, where in my life am I holding something back? Who is it that I want to say something to and I'm not doing it? You know, is it Meridian? Is it my kids? Is it the government? Is it, you know, and then I wait to see from the M wave where the issue lies. And typically just going through that, the next day, things will just be cleared. It's like giving the subconscious brain a chance to be listened to and conversed with. So that's one of the main ways I do it. I also could use it to write a letter to my throat. I had a sore throat, dear throat, and see which sentences are high coherent sentences. And then if it turns out that it's something inherited, I can hand it back to mom and dad or grandma and grandpa or whoever comes up and do a little constellation exercise. Because anything in the body that's not really harmonious and peaceful is inherited. It takes a while to get that. We're programmed in the womb and in infancy to really believe that it's about our particular body as an individual. You know, like you go to the doctor and there's a medical record about me. You know, it's not me hanging on my family tree there showing me how this inheritance came about. It's only about me. And if I can be isolated like that in my own thinking, I might actually buy some antibiotics and try to fix me instead of looking at where did this inheritance come from and where is the love story in it? Like great grandma went through this and she passed life forward to me anyway. That's amazing. And sometimes feeling into that, I can cry or laugh or whatever. And then the physical thing kind of dissolves. So I use it as a biofeedback device in that way. And it's not quite as good as having another honest person. But in the middle of the night, it's really good because I'm not going to call another honest person and wake them up unless it's life or death.
Good job. Yeah. I wrote a letter to my throat and my throat wrote a letter back and broke up with me. So it's always something, you know. Always something. We're through. Dear John. Oh.
Hard to do.
Dear John. I tell you what, dear John. Here's a good one for you. Hi, Patrick. On the show with Dr. Massey, what does he call it when he refers to an animal crossing his path when someone was calling in with questions? Remember, he was outside and animals were crossing his path. Over the past couple of weeks, I read in the morning and have seen a soaring hawk. And it's so interesting because apparently the hawk symbolizes the ability to use intuition and higher vision in order to complete tasks or make important decisions. You can look up on search bar for a full read on the powerofpositivity.com.
Yeah, good. I like that you're doing that. I had the privilege of being invited to some sun dances years ago and sitting around with the Native Americans there. They would always talk about the animals they were seeing as they were going by. And, you know, and I thought, you know, I don't know. I mean, I have an advanced degree. We didn't hear about that. But after a while, I began to notice the synchronicities were just too much to dismiss. And they actually feel good to make the connection. So I like that you're doing that. I sent Patrick a picture of the heron we got to watch yesterday. And, you know, in biology, things repeat in doubles. Our automatic computer brain repeats things in doubles until they're healed. And on April 30th, 1983, I nearly drowned in a whitewater rafting fiasco there. And when it was when I was twice that age, I think I was 67 and something. When I was twice that age, I was going out to go swim in the creek. And I knew it was the exact doubling of the days. And I thought to myself, okay, this is a flat creek. I should be fine. You know, but should I just stay in out of respect and not tempt fate, you know? But I thought, all right, I'm going to go look at the water, just see how it looks. So I walked out to look at the water. And when I got out to the edge, there was a heron not far from me that usually would be startled and fly away, but it didn't. And it was standing on a log. It was the first time I'd seen it not standing in the water. And it's like it was saying to me, I'm not in the water today. why are you thinking about getting in the water today? I took that as a little sign. It felt good. I turned around and went in the house and did something else. But the synchronicities are amazing when we start to watch them. I put them on my calendar now, along with birthdays and death days of my ancestors. Now I have a calendar that has more than Lincoln and Washington's birthday.
That's good, because every time I send them something, I always send it back. You know, it's like, nobody here by that name. Yeah. We used to live in that little log cabin there. Check back there. Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
We just saw a hawk nest down the street here. It's my first time to see one. It's in a neighbor's yard. Mm-hmm. And we actually got to see the baby sticking its head out, screaming, waiting for some food. And that was pretty cool.
Yeah. It's amazing you see those kind of things in the city.
Yes, it is. Yeah. But I think you'll be rewarded. I think you already have been noticing the hawk while you're reading. I think that's, I like hearing that.
Here's one posting a video on YouTube, posted simultaneous on HookTube from where it will not be deleted. See, there's all kinds of, here's another one, HookTube, HookTube.
Okay, thank you for that.
We have BitChute, somebody else put another one on Facebook, so there's all kinds of options, I guess.
Okay.
Someday YouTube won't even be a big deal anymore. We'll have... Well, so many options on those things.
Yes. Yeah, you know, nature loves us. And when we're really walking our path, it's like all of nature conspires to, give us information.
And take care of us and heal us and everything else that you do.
Since that herbalist charter thing, I know it's too long to read. It's from 1512, the herbalist charter under Henry VIII.
When did you send that, today?
Yeah, just a few minutes ago, when you were talking about something being 15 years ago. Well, this is from 1512. And under Henry VIII, there was an herbalist charter, which is still part of our common law, if you can believe that, in which he said, look, there's this whole industry of people who call themselves physicians and surgeons. They seem to be only interested in money, and their results aren't very good. And then there's these nice people who know about nature and herbs and things like that, trying to be nice to their family and friends. And these guys keep persecuting them in, you know, in courts of law and things like that. And he said, we're not doing that anymore.
Isn't that? Yeah, I see that. Wow. The campaign for the protection of herbal medicine, herbalist charter of Henry the, did he put it out there, Hen?
It was, you know, it was probably done under his rule. I think he had his mind on other things.
You think? 15. King Henry, he forgot about, you know, more women than you and I have ever been with. I think those stories are true. He probably just died of exhaustion, you know.
Oh, man.
Some of the great, Henry VIII, 1512. Wow. According to some of the movies I've seen about him, that he went through quite a lot of problems and health problems.
Okay, so maybe some herbalist helped him out, and that's why.
Yeah, they did. According to, I watched the Tudors. You see that? Of course, that was probably, you know, totally historically correct, you think? But it was a good show. The Tudors, if you ever want to watch about King Henry. It used to have a series, I think 4, 5, 6 seasons many years ago. Really good. That's great. The Campaign for Production of Herbal Medicine. We're in the Parliament Holder of Westminster in the third year of the King's most gracious reign. Amongst other kings and avoiding sources, witchcrafts and other inconveniences, it was enacted that no person within the city of London, nor 7 miles in name, should be taken upon himself to exercise and occupy as a physician or surgeon, except to be first examined, approved, and admitted by the bishops of London. So they were saying this is what the deal is now. You have to be approved, right? But these herbalists should be okay.
Yeah. If you have God-given knowledge of nature and mm-hmm. herbs and things like that, you know, leave these people alone. They're actually helping.
Like, leave them alone, dude. They probably taught you that in medical school, right?
Yeah.
Don't get me started. You ever think back to your medical school days?
I do. Hmm. I do. I think about those, you know, especially on, you know, anniversaries of things. And,
uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you learn anything in there that you use today? Or?
I do.
Lunch,
still,
right?
You know,
lunch and gym. When you
practical aspects of IVs. And,
sure.
I learned some practical stuff. And, you know, I think the hospitals and the medical system were basically born out of the grief of the battlefield. That's where the focus is. And just give people just barely what they need to make it. I think how different it would be to be in a world where people are open to having vitamins in their IVs and giving bioidentical hormones to people who are trying to regrow their bones after a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't that done? I think we're still in a battlefield grief and we haven't really acknowledged it yet.
Mm-hmm. Richard Massey, Patrick Timpone. Dr. Mark Serkis argues there's just no way, a reason in the world why hospitals should not be giving hydrogen in with the oxygen too. He said it's just, I mean, the science is there. There are places beginning to do it, using hydrogen for people to help them recover from strokes and things like that, even in the Mayo Clinic, using molecular hydrogen. If you look on molecularhydrogeninstitute.com, look under studies, and they have a whole list of all these different organs in the body and all the different things, peer-reviewed studies, thousands of them, that have been used hydrogen, and it's all about oxidation. In almost every one of these studies, they mention oxidation. And so we know that oxidation is one of the key things in health, like the number one guy. And we also know that hydrogen, molecular hydrogen, and Brown's gas, which is a step up from hydrogen, is the number one absolute, no questions asked, no kidding, no fooling around, genuine antioxidant on the planet. A kabillion times more than vitamin C. Here's a bit more of about oxidation from Sophia Smallstorm, a recent guest. It might kind of entice you to get one of these machines. By the way, and I'll tell you, we have a great sale, 20%. I'll tell you about that after we hear from Sophia. If I turn up the volume, it'd be easier for you to hear it. Sorry, I just had a fat finger moment there. Here it is.
People were living lifestyles that were crazy. They were dancing all night. They were doing all kinds of drugs that caused oxidative stress. There's only one disease, which is oxidative stress of the body. It could show up anywhere in different tissues or organs, or it could be a systemic thing showing up all at once everywhere. And it causes your mitochondria in your cells not to be able to produce ATP. They stop working. Remember we said children had lots of young, I call it bouncy mitochondria, and the older you get, the faster your rate of mitochondrial death, which means that cells are just not what they used to be. And even though cells renew there are cycles of cells, some cells renew every 2 years, some cells every few months, some cells every 7 years. You've heard that we renew ourselves. We're not our age, right? Our cells are a younger age than our chronological age. But if you're losing mitochondria and your cells are weaker, the older you get, then you're just simply not going to be as proficient a machine as you were before, a living organism in this case.
Other people have said this on the show, that oxidation is the only cause of disease.
Right. Oxidative stress, mitochondrial failure. And depending on where the disability, the debilitation, the degeneration, the failure shows up in the body, it's given a disease name. So in certain tissues of the eye, it's called this. In certain tissues of the intestines, it's called that. In certain tissues of the skin, it's called another thing. So it's always the same. The cells are dying. And when the rate of cell death is higher than the rate of cell repair, you have a problem.
It's a lot of problems. That's right. Hydrogen, molecular hydrogen, and Brown's gas. Brown's gas is a step up, and that's what our machine gives, Brown's gas. So it has the specialized electrolyzed water that adds electrons to the water, which lowers the ORP, and that lowers the whole way that the body deals with water, and then helps the body to hydrate more easily. So Brown's gas is a very special kind of element in our AquaCure machine. If you don't think Brown's gas is something, do some research I think his name was Ewell Brown, and see what the boys did to him after he talked about hydrogen. It wasn't pretty. That happens when you put things out that really work. There's a 20% deal right now, only for another week. 20%. George sprung this on us a few days ago. Use promo code ONERADIO. 20% off. And that's a great deal. Lifetime warranty, a one-year money-back warranty on this machine. If you don't like it, up to a year, you get your money back. No questions asked. And then a lifetime warranty. So it's a great investment for a lifetime. A hydrogen Brown's gas machine, 20% off for another week until about the 25th or so of May. 20% promo code ONERADIO, oneradionetwork.com. Have you ever wondered why elk velvet antler could be good for you?
So every year they shed it, and then in the spring they begin growing a new rack, a new set of antlers. 3 months. They grow it in three months. Think about the biggest moose rack you've ever seen, the biggest elk rack or deer rack you've ever seen. That's 3 months of growth.
It's amazing.
Now, so what you have is this organ that starts off as nothing and grows within 3 months to be an organ that's covered in skin, hair, veins, arteries, nerves. It's totally innervated. It's got bone and osseous tissue and bone marrow. It's essentially a limb. It requires special molecules like growth factors to accelerate the growth of it. And so there's growth factors in there that grow all the types of tissue that are found on it. Bone marrow, nerves, skin, blood. All of that is being grown by these growth factors. And you can put that into your own blood and help yourself regenerate tissue.
Well, and these little elky are not hurt. You know, like they say in the movies, no animals were hurt in the production of this film. No animals were hurt in the production of elk velvet antler. They're farm raised, and they take the velvet off. They just kind of walk up to them, and they train them, and thank you very much. Let's have your velvet. And then they go on about their business, and then the antlers fall off, and they grow some more. It's amazing that they grow these huge antlers in 1 year. It shows you some of the stuff going on with elk velvet. There's a special going on with elk velvet antler right now with Tanya Vitalis. If you use promo code, what is it, Robust15, that's on for another couple weeks, Robust15, the CBD, Elk Velvet Antler, and Taboo, all on sale, Robust15. Don't forget, they also have a great product, vitamin D3K2, 200 servings per bottle, a 9-month supply for only $29, exceptional ingredients. So look at the ingredients and you'll say, yep, I want some of that. It's about 11 cents a day would it be that much even? Yeah, I guess it is. Yeah, 11 cents a day for your D3K2. It is a great product. I'll mention that when I get to get back with Dr. Massey because he knows Dr. Hines. Anyway, that's on the Survival Link, oneradionetwork.com. Robust 15 would be that deal. Okay, I think I can figure this out. There.
We are listener supported. One Radio Network.
Talk with Dr. Richard Massey, an MD out of Austin, Texas, and we'll give you all of his contact information on the show page. I was talking to Dr. Stephen Hines, who you introduced me to years ago, Doc, the other day, just to check in with him.
All right. How is Steve?
Well, he's just crazy as a loon as ever. We love him. He's great. But he was saying that he knows of some folks that they came down with some kind of weird thing, whatever it is, and that they just they chunked it into about 50,000 units of vitamin D for 2 days and just kicked that puppy, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
50,000.
Yeah, Sebring recommends the same thing.
Really?
Yes.
What do you think a good ongoing dose of D is? Do we know, or do we just make that up as we go? Or?
We kind of make it up and just get a lab to check it every now and then if you can.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how differently people respond in the sunshine, you know. It depends, like in the sunshine, on your cholesterol level, because it's the sun shining on the cholesterol that makes vitamin D.
So without good cholesterol levels, you can't make vitamin D.
Yeah, not from the sun. You know? And so those statin drugs are a bit rough on folks. So, you know, get your level checked and adjust how much you're taking.
Mm-hmm. So we get out in the sun a lot. If I would go do a vitamin D test, would it show my levels good because I'm getting off from the sun? I do take a little bit of Daniel's product, but not very often. Usually just I'm out in the sun a lot. Will that show up? It must show up, right?
Yeah, go get it checked and just see what it is with what you're doing. And if it's a good level, then what you're doing is working. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's too logical. You don't want to do that. Gee. Come on. What are you trying to be? Let's some rogue doctor or something like that?
I know. It's just so it's so simple how most stuff works. I remember the first time I gave someone some thyroid without checking their labs, and their doctor told them they didn't need it. And they came back and said, I have so much more energy now. And when I got my labs done, my numbers were right in the middle of the bell curve. Uh-huh. My doctor was so happy. And that's when it hit me. Oh, my gosh. Right. How do we use a lab to tell somebody you don't need something? We're mm-hmm. really sure about that when you have symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
So we just didn't tell the doctor that the reason it was so good is because she was already taking thyroid.
You seem good at results when folks who do have a low TSH level and some of the other numbers, when they get on a little piggy thyroid, you've seen good experiences from people that they feel better?
Yeah, a lot of people have done well. And, you know, usually it's when the TSH part is high. That means the thyroid's low. That TSH is the pituitary screaming at the thyroid, make me some more hormone. But, yeah, a lot of people do well with the Armour thyroid. You just try it out, see if their body temperature goes up, their energy and all those things. See if it restores some balance. And then if they want to look at conflicts of the thyroid and work on it there so they don't need it anymore, they're certainly welcome.
Oh, because thyroid has their own little conflicts?
Yes. If there's an overwhelming something that comes at me or has come at someone in my family that I'm in line with that has to do with the issue of injustice.
Injustice, huh?
Or has to do with the issue of timing. Somebody should have been faster or slower to have prevented an accident or a death or something like that. If I'm the one in the family who's in line with that person, when I turn that person's age, when that happened, my thyroid won't work right.
Injustice. Yeah, curious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's a shield across. It's shaped like a shield. It goes right across the airway.
Oh, yeah. It's just... That's that little, it's underneath that little shield, right, that I'm feeling right now.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it's anything that's about a big injustice also hits the thyroid.
Mm-hmm. George wants to know, can your guest explain the pitfalls or the upsides and downsides is what he's saying. He's kind of a long email. I'm just condensing it. Sorry, George, of the testing that they're doing for coronavirus. Do you understand the mechanism?
Yeah, and I would get that Andrew Kaufman YouTube. I don't remember the title, but I don't think he has too many out. He goes into that in great detail, and it was actually a shock to me. I think I mentioned it on the last show that in injecting a rich person with exosomes recently, the geneticist on his staff told me that all the PCR kits that she opens says inside of it not to be used for diagnosis. It's kind of interesting.
Isn't not
it?
To be used so, for the PCR test, not to be used for diagnosis.
And that's what we use to diagnose every virus. But there's not a single test out there that actually looks for the virus itself. There's not one.
There's just not one. And just logically, one could argue that how could it, where this test was out there right around the same time when this coronavirus thing was discovered being running around, right in February, correct?
Yes. And, you know, the hepatitis C virus, the test is a PCR test for that. I told you about that last time, that all the people I know who took the drug to supposedly eradicate their hepatitis C, all it did was change the PCR test.
So what's PCR mean?
Yeah, polymerase chain reaction. It looks for a tiny little sequence of DNA base pairs. I think humans, Andrew Kaufman says we have 8 billion base pairs, and they identify what's in the virus, and they go, anytime we see these 28 base pairs, we know this person has coronavirus. Well, that's simply not true. A lot of normal people have that same 28 pair. And so the test doesn't look for the virus. It's like my daughter told me once, don't ever get those 3 moles removed off the back of your neck, Dad, because when you're in this big crowd at the Kerrville Folk Festival and I'm coming up from behind, all I have to do is see those 3 moles on the back of your neck and I know it's you. Well, maybe there's somebody else with 3 moles on the back of their neck. Is that possible? And that's how this test is. It's looking for something like that. It's not looking for the virus. It's looking for a marker that that virus has, and maybe a whole bunch of normal people also have it.
Because they would have it. Why would they have it?
Because they have that same sequence of DNA base pairs.
Just because being they're human.
And it's honestly, here's where I go eugenics, and I don't want to get too caught up in it, but I think what we're doing here with this is there's some agenda. Don't want to blame anybody. It's just the way humans are. We're looking for a set of base pairs in people that we deem undesirable. Like there was a lady who worked for the vaccine industry, a company that made vaccines. This is back in the 90s. I was reading this and she had discovered in her research that everybody who got this vaccine that regular adults get, it caused a higher rate of colon cancer in Ashkenazi Jews.
Wow.
And African Americans.
Oh.
So when somebody says they're targeting this 28 set of base pairs, and the potential is if you test positive for that, you could be given the Jewish star, basically.
Right, right.
You're a carrier of this. Who decided that that's the 28 base pairs that we're going to be looking for? They never actually did the test to show how many other people out there have that 28 base pair set. That test was never done, and it's required if you're going to even try to use a PCR test for diagnosis. You have to find out how many normal people have the same sequence. Otherwise, you'll label them as a carrier or somebody who's infected and penalize them. But if you knew that that 28 base pair is more frequent in Jews, African Americans, people you don't like, you could set that up as the PCR test. There's room for mischief here. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I don't trust any of it. Everybody I know who took the medicine for hepatitis C and believed they were cured because the PCR test went negative after they took it, they all felt worse.
If you'd like to learn more about this, we put a great little posting on Facebook. I think it was goes back about 4 days, and it's by Dr. Thomas Cowan, The title is, A Positive Test Means You Have the Illness or You Don't. It's a great title, isn't it? Yeah. So all of these headlines, you know, 418,000 cases in Italy or something like that. That's all they're doing is reporting that 400,000 people took this PCR test, which isn't accurate at all, and maybe came back positive, correct?
Right.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's very strange. And then I saw a bit of an interview with the lady who says she was put in jail for 5 years by Fauci and all. You probably saw that.
Oh, yeah, Mikovic. Yeah, Mikovic, yeah.
And she was saying that last year's flu shot is what set people up to be more susceptible for the COVID.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so there was a high rate of immunization of adults in Italy last year. And that's her contention, is that's why more of them are ill.
Please explain how family issues work when a person is adopted. From Catherine, who's listening on Facebook this morning.
Oh, man, that's a wonderful question, Catherine. And yeah, if you ever want to call and chat about that, you can see some stuff in the Recall Healing book, and there's a lot in the Family Constellations about it. Basically, the adopted person will have two families of origin. And so we want to include everyone. So it can be a bit more of a complex family tree. But yeah, we could chat about that sometimes. It would be a topic to go into. But yeah, you'll have two family trees. You'll take on whatever your biologic father and your biologic mother had going on, and then also your adoptive mother and your adoptive father and their families.
That would be more more a spiritual connection, the karmic, and why you came in, why you created that mom and dad, even if you have a different biological mom and dad.
And if you're adopted at less than a year old, then biologically you'll actually have two families that affect your biology fairly profoundly.
Huh. She says, oh, that's what I expected. Thank you. Oh, she's right there. Got a little fast fingers working. That's cool, isn't it? Well,
it really
is. Yeah. Yeah, for those of you who are adopted, I mean, there's no reason to believe at all, in my opinion, that who you're with now, mom and dad, is an accident.
Right. Yeah. And people struggle with the struggle seems to be biological, that people can either identify with being abandoned, in which case life is difficult and the person feels like a victim and kind of anchorless, or they can identify with the person having the strength to do this thing, to hand their baby over to someone else who can give them a better chance. And those people tend to be very, very successful in life.
That's nice, isn't it, when you think about it?
Yeah, and that can be changed. If you took on one thing, like if you took on the victim side, or your mom, or your biological father, that can be shifted in a family constellation.
If you took on the victim side,
Yeah, so if a person the other way, victimized, right. Like life is so hard, I have to give up my baby. If that's the overwhelming thing, that's what the baby's nervous system absorbs. Hmm. And they express that the rest of their life. I'm a victim. Life happens to me. There are things that are outside my control that will always be in charge. And of course, that can be handed back and shifted in a constellation in a way that's actually authentically felt in our biology.
You just get so geeky biology. I love it about you, you know? Such a biology geek. Well, Doc, it's always fun, and thanks for being here this morning. We're gonna get set up and invite Dr. Ray Pete in and talk about goodness knows what. I still want to explore this whole Pasteur germ theory with him.
I just
keep learning about this and trying to figure out what the hay is going on. But it is organic hay.
Gluten-free
organic hay. Like, what the hay is going on? Oh, well, gluten-free organic hay, I'm sure. I'm sure is this. Let's see. is there anything else on Facebook before we go? Oh, I think just wanted to know, Dr. Massey was referring to Byron Katie, which is a woman, right? How do you spell her first name?
Yeah, B-Y-R-O-N.
B-Y-R-O-N. Mm-hmm. Is she still around in a physical body?
I think she is. I think she must be 80 by now, at least, I would think. And yes, thework.com, and get that Judge Your Neighbor worksheet and blame at your very best.
I mean, if you're going to blame, baby, just blame at your best. It's called thework.com, Doc? The Work?
Yes.
Thework.com. Huh. You guys are going to do your Monday night thing tonight?
We are. We'll see what happens. I'll just mention real quickly. Last Monday night, I represented an alcoholic ex-husband.
Oh, good. Good for you.
And which is like true to life.
That's what I was about to say. Right up your alley, baby.
Yeah, right. And I didn't know that. And when the client came on, she was on Zoom. Remember, you can do constellations on Zoom now.
Right.
She looked just like my ex.
Is that right?
And I went into atrial fibrillation 5 minutes later.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Wow. Your old fibrillator start atrium, or what do they call it? Wow.
It did. And did it for about 17 and a half hours. So I haven't been on caffeine now for 2 weeks.
That's crazy. Boy, got you off the old mojo juice real quick, doesn't it, boy, when your little heart does those kind of things.
Yeah, and said some nice things to my ex and myself and things like that.
And I'm sure you've been talking to your heart and being nice to Mr. Hart.
Yes, we had a conversation, like mm-hmm. why the girl heart and the boy heart, we're not actually seeing eye to eye.
That'll happen. Did you tell your heart that, you guys know that you're not a pump, don't you? You don't tell them.
Yeah.
Did you tell them that? And they go, wait a minute, what do you mean? I was told I was a pump. What are you talking about? All right, kiddo, I love you. Thanks for everything. Give our love to Meridian. And let us know if we can do anything along the way. And I'm sure we'll talk before, but if not, we'll see you next month right here. Dr. Richard Massey, and we'll put his phone number, email address, and stuff like that, his contact info right there if you'd like to do a little session with him on recall healing or whatever. Okay, kid, thanks a lot. We'll see you real soon.
All right, Patrick.
Okay, may the blessings be. Dr. Richard Massey, Patrick Timpone, and OneRadioNetwork.com. Good stuff. Always good stuff. Okay, we're going to get set up here. And we will be calling Dr. Richard, who are we going to talk to next? Oh, Ray Pete. We're going to talk to Ray Pete. He was here on the second Monday of the month. So get your questions in, YouTube, Facebook. I don't think anybody's monitoring YouTube this morning. So just do Facebook if you can. If you're on YouTube, YouTube, just email me, patrick@oneradionetwork.com, or do it on Facebook, and then that'll be easier, okay? So we'll be right back with Dr. Ray Pete. I love you all very much. Thanks for your ongoing support, and may the blessings be.
We are listener-supported, One Radio Network.